Welcome back. This is All Things Armenian. I'm your host, Professor Barlow Demirgardichyan, with the Armenian Studies Program at Fresno State. It's been a busy few weeks for our program. We've been having activities over the last few days, which we're going to talk about today. But I want to, first of all, tell you about our upcoming events. On Thursday, March the 5th, 2020, at 7:30 p.m., Dr. Ari Shakarian is going to be speaking. It's his second lecture as part of his three-part lecture series, and it's called The Survivors, Armenian Orphans and Refugees After the First World War. And that's going to be in the University Business Center at Fresno State. It's a free lecture. Everyone is welcome to attend. And, you know, it's going to be a really good lecture because he gave a good talk on his first one, and I think it's a good one for his second one as well. On Tuesday, March the 10th, Dr. David Gutman is going to be speaking on Sojourners, Smugglers, and Dubious Citizens, the Politics of Armenian Migration to North America, 1885 to 1915. And Dr. Gutman is coming to Fresno State from Manhattanville College in New York. And his talk is going to be one about how the Armenian immigrants, really from that very first period, came to the United States from Turkey and the politics involved in that. And then finally, on Wednesday, March 18th, our special guest will be Dr. Huri Berberian. She's the Mehruni Family Presidential Chair in Armenian Studies at the University of California, Irvine, and she'll be speaking about her latest book called Roving Revolutionaries, Armenians and the Connected Revolutions in the Russian, Iranian, and Ottoman Worlds. That's just some of our upcoming events. As I was saying, we had a very busy weekend at Fresno State. We had two events. Friday night, there was a concert by Nara Avetisyan, which was part of the keyboard concert series at Fresno State, part of the Young Talent series. But actually yesterday, Saturday, we had an all-day event, or most of the afternoon, called Armenian American Musical Heritage of the San Joaquin Valley. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that and about some of the musical projects of the Fresno State Armenian Studies Program. And I'm happy to have with me today as my guest, Dr. Yektan Türkyılmaz. Welcome, Yektan.
Hi, Balu.
It's good to have you here today. Just a little bit about Dr. Türkyılmaz. He is actually living in Berlin, Germany, where he is a research fellow at the Forum Transregional Studien. And he received his PhD from Duke University on the topic of the Armenians and rethinking the genocide, but from the perspective of the Eastern Anatolia. And he has also received his PhD from the Department of Cultural Anthropology, as I said, at Duke University, and he's taught courses throughout the world. But the purpose that he's here now is he's been in Fresno for now almost 2 weeks, working on a project that the Armenian Studies Program has been working on, which is really about Armenian-American music. So, Yektan, thank you again for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've been doing, about this topic, I think, is what I want to start with. Tell me a little bit about the topic of Armenian-American music, especially in records.
Thank you very much for having me. This is a topic which I've been very much interested for by now decades, the topic being the history of sound recording, especially commercial recordings, which by and large goes back to the turn of the century, or late 1890s, and if we think about the world in general, around the turn of the century, 1900s. And my interest is not limited to the immigrant musicians' recordings in the United States. I basically look at the history of recording industry in the Eastern Mediterranean, that is the Ottoman Empire, Greece, Egypt, Levant, that is Beirut, Lebanon, and Syria, and my focus there is what it did to cultures, identities, what it did politically, basically its consequences. And another group that I look at closely is the diaspora communities. That is the diasporas of these areas. Let's say the Greek diaspora in United States, Armenian diaspora in United States or elsewhere, in France, in Uruguay. So, but in all these diasporas, if we are to talk specifically about Armenians, the most important location of music production, as in the diaspora was definitely the United States. Going back to early 1900s, first the earliest recordings appeared in mainstream labels like Victor and Columbia. Then, as of 1920s, Armenians, like many other ethnic groups, began to create their own labels, which actually had important consequences, in the sense that, unlike those mainstream companies, this time music was being recorded by those people who knew about the music, who knew about the history, who knew about the taste of the audience.
Where did your interest come about? I mean, before we talk specifically about Armenian music, where did your, I mean, you just said what a broad interest you have. You're a cultural anthropologist, but did this come out of your studies or something you just had as a personal background?
Actually, as you summarized, my PhD dissertation is on the Armenian genocide. So my specialization is collective violence. But I had a personal interest, personal liking, so to speak, for the records. My personal story goes back to early days of my childhood, when my father was a medical doctor in the countryside of Eastern Anatolia, Sebastia, Sivas. And one day, some guy sells him this gramophone. And at the time, there was no power in the in the district that we lived. And for a kid 6-7 years old, that's the most fantastic toy that he or she can ever have. You crank it up, you put some discs on it, and it produces sound. That's a fantastic toy for a 6 year old. Mm-hmm. So that it goes back to then. But I think the idea of turning this into a scholarly project goes back to year 2000, when I started my PhD at Duke University. At the time, it was the time that I realized that other than the recordings in the Ottoman Empire in Greece or elsewhere in the Middle East, there were also recordings done by musicians from those areas in the United States, which basically kind of, on the one hand, it was a big surprise to me, and on the other hand, it also broadened and further persuaded me to definitely turn this into a project. And actually, recently we had two workshops on the topic, not specifically on Armenians, but on the history of recording in the Middle East, in the Eastern Mediterranean area, and its consequences in Berlin, and actually. These are kind of like what I'm doing here, and what I'm doing in Berlin are kind of like these are two sister projects going hand in hand.
Well, you mentioned sound recordings in the Eastern Mediterranean and in that region. Was it actually Armenians that were among the first to bring that into the area, or who was it that actually, and maybe you can just even back it up and say, just take us to the beginning of sound recordings and then kind of make that, how did it actually get transferred or transmitted?
Malo, that's a beautiful question. In the sense that that Armenians were such a key group, not only in the industry, but also in music production in general, in the region. First of all, if you look at what people call today Ottoman classical music, or Ottoman music scene in general, not only classical, if there is one group which was definitely overrepresented in the music scene, that was obviously Armenians. Armenians were among the most prominent composers. The best known, I can count many names if you go back to if you look at the history of music, but also history of recording, you see Armenians are definitely overrepresented. And this was the case until the genocide, for sure, 1915. Over time, of course, as the Armenian population dwindled in the Middle East because of the massacres, the genocide, first the massacres in 1890s, then the genocide, and then also the immigration. So this changed. But if you look at the history of music production in those areas, Armenians were Music educators, Armenians were music composers, Armenians were instrumentalists, Armenians were vocals, and Armenians were, you know, beyond and above all, they were not only in music but in general in the realm of entertainment, they were definitely overrepresenting, including theater, cinema. And this is not only true for, by the way, for the Ottoman Empire. This also applies to the music scene in Egypt and also Lebanon, I would say. And in those areas, actually, this situation continued further into, like, you know, 1920s, 1930s. Yes, definitely Armenians were both as business people, as musicians, very notable in this entire process.
Actually, I think about it because I also know that the role that Armenians played in photography in the same area, in the printing, in many areas that you know, there was, they were among the pioneers in each of these areas, and they have made a big impact in each of those areas.
That is so correct, Barlow. Actually, photography is a good example. I think printing press is a great example, in the sense that, you know, probably many of our listeners would know, as at least the Armenian listeners would know, you know, that like the first Armenian book was not published in the areas where Armenians made, like, you know, had a sizable population, right?
Right.
It was not in Ottoman Empire. It was not in the Russian Empire, but it was in Venice in 1512. And if you look at, like, in the first Bible, it was published in Amsterdam, and the first periodical in Madras, late 1700s. So actually, that was also correct. That was also it was a similar picture. If you look at Armenian recording industry, Armenians in the recording industry, you know, the first Armenian recordings were not done in the Ottoman Empire. They were not done in today's Armenia. They were not even done in the Caucasus, where Armenians had a sizable population. But it was done in St. Petersburg in 1901. And likewise, if you look at the Armenian recordings over the, let's say, the first half of the 20th century, it's so dispersed. You know, Armenians did recordings, we already mentioned the United States, but in France, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Uruguay, in Argentina, in Egypt, and in Germany. You know, I can keep telling you, increase the list. So you are right in the sense that, like, you know, that Armenian music recording, Armenians in the on records, is actually very similar to Armenians on pages. That is, in the printing press. It's a very similar history, and it's not a coincidence, because Armenian cultural production has always been a global enterprise. We get a similar picture if you look at the recording industry.
Well, Yektan was the Kazan visiting professor in Armenian studies 2 years ago, and I was just looking at it. It was almost 2 years ago to the day, it was actually on March 7th, 2 years ago, that he gave a lecture on Armenians on Records, music production from homeland to diasporas. And that was kind of the impetus for sort of a confluence of events, I will say, or confluence of things, which was that the Armenian Studies Program already had a collection of Armenian records, which we had collected over the years. And then Yektan happened to come, not happened to, but he came and gave a talk about this. And the result of that was two grants that the Armenian Studies Program has received. And the first is the broader one that we'll talk about first, which was the Grammy grant, which is the Grammy Museum has given a grant to Armenian Studies to catalog and to organize its record collection. And so that's kind of why we've brought actually Yektan back for 2 weeks. So tell us a little bit about, again, you started, you said the first recordings were in 1901. According to your research, what was the first recording done in the United States, and what was it?
When we talk about recordings, we can talk about two, you know, very broadly speaking, can talk about two categories: non-commercial recordings and commercial recordings. So non-commercial recordings go back to 1893, to the Chicago Fair, when not only Armenians but many other groups were recorded. Those were the early days of.
That was music, also.
Yes, there was music, and recordings in the United States, commercial recordings. We are talking about 1907 and afterwards, and also. Armenians recorded not only in, by the way, they did not record only in Armenian language. They sang in, they recorded, they made recordings in Turkish, in French, in Persian, in Azeri language, in Arabic. So, you know, Armenian musicians were not active only in the Armenian music scene, with the narrow meaning of the term, but they were active in a broader, let's say, music scene. Regarding our collection, I would like to add a couple of words, if you allow me. First of all, you know, you definitely deserve the credit here, because, you know, if you look at, like, you know, if you think about 1980s, 1990s, when you were collecting these records, no one were interested in these, you know, 78s recorded in the United States, and people were throwing away. And you were the one who convinced many Armenian families not to throw them away, but to donate them to the Armenian Studies program. And this was not no easy task, because, you know, keeping this, like, these are bulky items, and they need to be, like, you know, preserved well, because they are very fragile. And they're heavy to carry around, so many things. So you definitely deserve, like, you know, you basically saved an important cultural heritage media from pretty much disappearing, vanishing. That's, you know, and second thing, like, you know, I think there's another hero whose name we have not mentioned so far, Jim Karagözyan, who did not only help us, like, you know, preserve this for many years, but also generously shared his own collection, which included many home cut records. Home cut records being those records pressed at home, recorded at home after 1940s, specifically after the Second World War. And which actually allows us to hear the voices which could not make it to recording, right? You know, commercial recordings, like, you know, and also, like, those recordings actually reflect how vivid, how lively the music, Armenian music scene has been in Fresno, particularly in the Valley area in general.
Yeah, this is a topic that we're going to continue. We're going to take a break and listen to some music from the movie Ararat. And then when we return, we'll talk more with our guest, Dr. Yektan Türkyılmaz.